And we have encouraged him and tried to help support some of the work that he's doing there. We're very appreciative of him. We're going to have him come and share with us some things about the work there this afternoon, as well as always, we make sure that we spend some time inside of God's Word. We're very thankful for the work that he's doing. Brother Tony, if you'll come and speak to us now again, we're very thankful to have you here with us.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is a bit of a long walk there from the back, you know, so I had to start walking kind of during the introduction. But my name is Scott Tominey. If you don't understand anything today, just stick your hand up and I'll try and talk slower, and I'll try and talk I'll try and speak English for you today as best as I know how to speak it. You know, there's a story I like. It's about some Scottish soldiers who returned from the Second World War. They'd all fought together in France, and they returned from the Second World War, and they lived in villages in the Western Highlands, quite close to each other. And they decided that through the war, they'd all been together, and they wanted to stay in touch. They didn't want to lose that bond that they had gained fighting against the Nazis there in France. And so what they did was they created the Western Highlands Mountaineering Club. And they decided that they would walk all the hills of Scotland in the Western Highlands, including Ben Nevis, the highest mountain in the UK. When they came to tackle Ben Nevis, they got a little bit lost. And they got into a little bit of trouble. And as can happen in Scotland, the snow started to close in quite rapidly. And you know, pretty soon they were facing a blizzard. Now, all of them, you know, starting to panic. They weren't professional soldiers. They'd been conscripted into the army during the Second World War. They decided to check in their packs to see if any of them had thought to bring a map of the Western Highlands. And in fact, not one of them had. There was no map. They did everything they could to keep themselves warm. One of the soldiers, you know, thinking quickly on his feet, reached into his pack and took out an extra pair of socks. Socks are those things that you put on your feet before you put your shoes on, in case anyone doesn't understand when I say that. I said socks at one of the other congregations and someone came up to me and says, "What is a sock?" And I said, "No, socks is what you put on your feet." Anyway, so he found an extra pair of socks that he had brought with him, and he put them on his hands to try and keep his hands from freezing. And in there, he found a map. He took the map out, and they followed the map, and they reached Fort William, which is a town in the Western Highlands. And when they got back to that town, they got back to the house, the hotel where they were staying. They slept there. And overnight, they recovered from the blizzard. When they woke up the next morning, they were having breakfast together. And they took out the map to kind of admire it. They were thinking about framing it and putting it in their clubhouse. And they were stunned to discover that the map actually wasn't of the Western Highlands at all. It was of the Alps, which is a few hundred miles away in France. It's a different mountain range altogether. You know, it's something that I've found in ministry and as I've went through my life as a missionary in Scotland, that sometimes it's not about the equipment that you have. Sometimes it's not all about the skills that you have. It's about having the will to be a leader and forge a path. That's what ministry is all about, really, when it comes down to it. You know, the skills and the equipment, they help and they come later. But really, the first thing that you need is that will to walk. To walk behind Jesus and allow others to follow you. You know, I was not brought up in a Christian family. I have no other Christians in my family to this day. I'm the only Christian, and yet I'm here in front of you today. You know, is a bit of a strange story, perhaps. You know, just like those Scottish soldiers there in the mountains. You know, I really didn't have a chance. You know, the snow was closing in around. I was in a bit of a dark place. But someone, a friend of mine with a very good Scottish name, Brian Buchanan, he came to me at high school and he knew I'd been going through a difficult time. And he said to me, "Scott, why don't you come to church?" Isn't it a blessing to have a friend like that? Someone who says to you, why don't you try the gospel? Why don't you try Bible class? And you know, every time he asked me for weeks and weeks, I said, no, I'm not interested in that kind of thing. I don't want to be in church. I don't want to be a Christian. Leave me alone. And he never took any of these for the final answer. He just kept coming back. And eventually, I don't know if this is a legitimate tactic, but he annoyed me into coming to church. I don't know if you've ever had anyone like that. Maybe you're thinking of your parents, but you'll thank them when you're older. He annoyed me into coming to church, and I'm thankful because, you know, I didn't have a chance. I was lost. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 has a passage, you know, just a couple of verses there in the book of Ephesians that talk about the situation I was in. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul writes to the Ephesian church, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It sounds pretty desperate. And that was me. And if I'm very much mistaken and one of you is perfect, that was you at one point or another. No hope without Jesus, without God in this world. And you know, just like Paul said to the Ephesians at that time, I didn't have a chance. But I had a friend. I had a friend and his name is Brian, and he's still my friend. I don't know what he did to deserve that, but he's still my friend to this day. I'm just saying this because, you know, hopefully everyone in here has a friend. And I am willing to bet that even here in the South and even over in Tennessee where there's Church of Christ on every corner and even, you know, in the places I've been on this trip, like down in Florida and places like that, even though there's Churches of Christ everywhere and there's Christians everywhere, I bet each of you has a friend that doesn't know the Lord. Each of you has a friend that needs that invitation. Come to Bible class, come to church. I didn't have a chance, but I did have a friend, and his name is Brian. And now because I had a friend, I have a Savior. And sometimes it's as easy as that. Sometimes that's all it takes. I became a Christian even though I didn't have a chance, all because I had a friend. How does that relate to the work in Scotland? What are you talking about today, Scott? Well, you know, in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You know, that was me. And just like it was me, it was many people in the city of Perth in Scotland. The city of Perth in Scotland has about 50,000 people in it. And 5 years ago, it had no church whatsoever. There was no one there who knew the Lord. No one there who was faithful. Back in 1994, I think I have some of this information here for you. Oh, that's me, by the way. This is Perth and parts of it. Yes, so back in 1994, the Church of Christ was present in Perth. And we had two missionary families. And just like our brother Gail this morning was talking about, if you don't teach the next generation, you lose the next generation. And that's what happened in Perth. Two missionary families left, they hadn't taught the next generation, and the Perth Church of Christ closed its doors in 1994. 20 years later, in 2014, we decided that that wasn't a situation we were happy with anymore. We weren't going to let that keep going, and we decided to plant a congregation of the church in Perth. By we, I mean the two people you see up there, plus one more person. Three of us in a city of 50,000 people. You know, I start to feel again a little bit like those Scottish hikers on the mountain, you know. When the blizzard starts to close in and, you know, we don't really have a map, we don't really have a chance, you know. We started, let me tell you how we started. We started with a campaign from a town that's not far from here, Beaufort, Georgia, just north of Atlanta here. We had a congregation that started being interested in our work. And one day, one of the elders who was here with me last year, and when I tell this story, 2 years ago, sorry, and when I tell this story, you'll know why he isn't here today. He called me up about 3 weeks before they were going to be in the country, and he said, Scott, we are coming to Perth. Perth is the correct way. Jeff's been trying to pronounce Perth correctly for about 4 years now, but you'll get it one day. Don't worry, it's Perth. But he phoned me up and he said, Scott, we're coming to Perth. And I said, okay. I had never been in the city of Perth until this point. The church in Perth was just an idea, a dream that we were going to start in the future. And he said, okay, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. I've never been. I said, but I'll figure it out if you're going to be here in 3 weeks. How many people are you bringing with you? And he said, 24. And I said, 24 of you, 24 Americans are going to show up in Perth in 3 weeks' time, and I got to figure out something that they're going to be doing. So we knocked on doors, we pounded the streets, and we held coffee shop Bible studies, and we found a Christian who had been living there since 20 years before. Annette Ferguson heard a friend of mine who's since went to his reward, Jack Strachan. I heard him. Now, Jack Strachan, he comes from the north part of Scotland, and I'm just saying they have an accent up there. They talk funny there. But so he's got quite a distinct accent, and he said the words, the Church of Christ, and a lady by the name Annette Ferguson heard him say the words, the Church of Christ, and she said, what do you mean by the Church of Christ? And Jack said, well, the church you find in the Bible. And she said, do you know Alexander Strachan? And Jack said, well, yes, that's my brother. And she said, well, 25 years ago, Alex Strachan baptized me into the church in a town called Glenrothes, which is in Scotland as well. And I moved to Perth, and the church moved out. No reflection on Annette, I'm sure, but the church left after that. And she said, and I've been here ever since, waiting for a chance. You know, Perth needed a saviour. And the people of Perth, they didn't have a chance. But we decided that they could have a friend. And we decided that they could have a church. And in 2014, we started work there with the Buford Church of Christ. And eventually, I moved in 2016 to be full-time in Perth. You know, another story that we actually referenced earlier, the story of the spies who entered into Canaan. You know, and they enter into Canaan, and 10 of them come back, and they say, we have no chance. We have not one chance to defeat the people that live there. The place is nice. I wish we could, but we don't have a chance. And two of them say, no, we can do it. You know, when we first went to Perth, we were like those two spies. We went in there and we thought, we can do this. We can figure this out. Three of us started meeting in a community center there in the town, and we started worship services, and then we started a youth club and Bible class and outreach. And for a few months, we had zero children attend. You know, three people on a Sunday at worship, zero children attending our midweek outreach community youth club. You know, things get a little bit discouraging. You start to think that, you know, maybe we can't do this. Maybe we are not able. It's a story about faith that I feel like has become quite important to us. Over in Matthew chapter 17, there's a story about faith that I kind of relate to on a certain level here. Matthew 17. I'm going to begin in verse 14 for us. Matthew 17, beginning in verse 14. When they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to Jesus and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You know, Jesus had been up on the mountaintop, and some of the disciples had went with him, and they'd seen him in his transfiguration, and they'd said, shall we build a tabernacle for you and for Moses and for Elijah? And Jesus had that great experience, and they came down the mountain, and the people who 1 year ago, those disciples 1 year before that, had been casting out demons for fun. They had been doing it just at the click of their fingers. At the word of their mouth, they had been casting out demons. And yet here, 1 year later, they couldn't do it. And Jesus says, this is a faith problem. This is a problem of faith. Now, those disciples, they saw Jesus right in front of them. Jesus was there. How could they have a problem with their faith? How could they have any faith problem? You know, sometimes it's just like we were thinking about in Perth. Sometimes when we think about faith, our faith goes in the wrong direction. You know, our faith was in us. We can build a church in Perth. We can build a youth club in Perth. We can do this. We can knock on doors and save souls for the Lord. But actually, it's not about us at all. Because I can't do that. I can't build a church. I can't build a youth club. I can't save souls. In fact, not me. God can do that. And that's the only thing that explains what happened next. What happens next, through really, I have no idea how, we start to attract these people to youth club. These kids start showing up. In fact, so many of them start showing up that we tried to send a few back, but they just kept coming, you know. They just kept turning up. By October 2017, we have 40 children attending our youth club. That's 40. Again, numbers sometimes don't translate in a Scottish accent. 40 children attending our youth club. This is just some of them up on the left-hand side here. And we started to have people attend our worship services. As of this year, we've had some growth, and we actually had some members move to a different town, a different congregation, and we have around 12 people, 12 Christians, I should say, attending our worship services with guests coming in now and again. You may notice in some of these pictures that I put up that our congregation is a little bit younger than usual. In fact, for a long time, until very recently, I was the third oldest person in our congregation, which kind of shows you what kind of ages we are dealing with and what kind of people we are working with here. But these are some pictures of our congregation there in Perth. You know, the people of Perth, 4 years ago, you know, 4 years ago, I came to Corniers here and spoke to you all and had some of this time with you, and there was no church in Perth. No one was there. Again, I had only been in the city once, you know. There was no one there working. There was no preaching. There was no teaching. There was no planting. And now, because of the support that people, that congregations like Corniers, that people all across the United States have given us, these people are going to heaven. These faces that you can see in these pictures, these people know the Lord. They have that opportunity. 4 years ago, they didn't have a chance. And now they have a Savior because of the things, because of the work that you have been able to help us in. So yeah, so this is just our numbers. 40 kids in October 2017, average attendance of around 30. Yeah, our youth club grows. This, by the way, on the your left-hand side here at the top. This is a picture of our minibus. We came, 2 years ago, I came seeking funds to buy a 17-seater minibus, which we bought in May 2017. We have used it for everything. It now has I'm quite proud of the nickname that it has been given, which is the Bible bus. There's Scott's Bible bus coming down the street. And so we get to take kids around and get them to Bible classes, youth camps, everything that we attend. We take this giant blue bus around with us, and it has become a focus point of the Church of Christ in Perth. Many people know us by this bus. And early, around the same time, May 2017, we decided to move to another facility, a high school, rather than where we'd been in our community centre, to move to a morning worship service. We'd previously been worshipping in the afternoons, and we decided that some people in Scotland, it's funny how it works in Scotland, let me give you a bit of a background. A regular conversation you might have with someone in Scotland about faith is, let's say I just found out they believed in God. And I say, okay, you believe in God. What church do you go to? And they say, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Baptist. And you might say, okay, where do you attend? And they say, I don't go to church. That for them, you know, they may pray, they may feel like, you may ask them, do you worship? And they say, yes. but they don't attend a place of worship. In fact, the last time statistics were released in Scotland, less than 6% of the population attended anywhere, any place of worship in Scotland. In fact, more people in the United Kingdom attend a place of worship on a Saturday than on a Sunday. Now, I'll let you draw your own conclusions about why that is, but as we preach and we teach in Scotland, people thought that we were a bit strange because we met on a Sunday afternoon. So we decided to go scriptural and meet on a Sunday morning. And so now regularly we meet on a Sunday morning in a local community high school. Abby Ramsey came to our attention in 2016, just before I came here to Conyers the last time. She had never had any background, much like myself, in the church. She lives in a single-parent household, just like Gail was talking about for us earlier. And is not in an unusual situation in Scotland. We were hosting a VBS in 2016, and some members of the church lived next door. They were her neighbours. Actually, they lived in the apartment above her, and they knocked on her door and said, "Would you like to come to VBS?" And she was like, I don't know. And it was the start of the school vacation, and her mum said, yes, she would love to go to VBS, as Abby was pushed out the door. And she came to VBS, and then eventually started attending our Bible classes, and then our youth club and our worship services. And then she had a personal Bible study with myself. Last time I was here, I was talking a little bit about Abby. And in July the 6th, 2017, she decided that she wanted to become a Christian. This is the river about half a mile from Abby's house, the River Tay. That water, just to give you a reference point, is about 35 degrees. Just to give you a reference there. Actually, in July, it's a bit warmer. It's about 45. So it's about 45 degrees in July. And I'll tell you, you feel every degree. It was cold. But yeah, we braved it, and Abby became a Christian there in July 2016. And so has just around become 1 year old in the faith. Abby is one of the most evangelistic young people I have ever met in my life. She has brought more high school kids to our youth club. She has just turned 15. She was 14 when she became a Christian. She's just turned 15, and she's brought more of her friends to worship, to youth club, than anyone of that age that I've ever met, except possibly Brian Buchanan, who brought me when he was 16. You know, Brian, the people I'm going to talk about in just a second, Morris and Polly, who were Abby's neighbours until recently, they had to move. And Abby herself, they're not, you know, world-class preachers. They're not going to polish in the pulpit and pulling in 5,000 people into their sermons or anything like that. They are not, you know, they never did anything amazing. Brian never donated a kidney to me or anything like that, you know. He's not the most eloquent person you've ever met in the world. All they did was ask a question. All they did was reach out and say, do you want to come? Would you like to come? Do you want to hear about the Christ? Those are things that we can all do. Those are ways that we can all show leadership in our lives. So to accommodate what is now our, you know, new teenage youth club that we didn't have before, but now Abby's come and all of a sudden we have all these teenagers turning up from local high schools, we started two new programs. I wonder if I have it in the next slide. We started two new programs. We started, I'll talk about this in just a second. We started what's called Leap and Lead. These two things take the youth club on into high school ages, and the kids that are involved in that do various things. They do community outreach, they go to youth weekends and special things like youth days and events that are not for the younger children, they're only for the teenage age children. They participate in leadership, just like I see a lot of your guys are today up here leading songs. It's a blessing to be here when that kind of thing goes on. And we are trying to do that in Perth. We are trying to train our next generation so that, you know, when I'm old and you know, beyond the ability to really do the things that we do in Perth, there are people there who are continuing this gospel work people there who are continuing to do what we do. You know, we had some challenges just with anything, you know. So a lot of our children, for instance, we had two children we were working with for a number of years, but they were foster children. They went to a permanent home, which was great for them. Unfortunately, it is in a different city, and we weren't able to work with them anymore. That situation is not unusual for us. From meeting someone, a member of our youth club, to them becoming a Christian, usually takes around 3 years. That's an average of 3 years. Myself, I started attending Bible classes when I was 16, and I became a Christian when I was 18. Took me 2 years. I'm just above average. But it's around 3 years on average. And sometimes we work with children for 2 years and they disappear and we never see them again. It's the nature of the work. There is a need really that we have for another family or, you know, just more workers to be there in Perth. We have 12 around Christians in our congregation. 10 of them are ladies. Now, we love the ladies. We love the work that they do and the service that they provide. However, it means that, you know, the last 3 weeks that I've been here in the States are the first 3 weeks this year that I've not led songs, done the Lord's Supper, preached the sermon, and the Bible class. It's the first few weeks of this year that I've not had 5 Bible studies during the week, as well as the ones that we encourage the congregation with. The burden is heavy. Morris is the only other man that attends the Church of Christ in Perth, and he is 73, so he's not quite as able as he used to be, and recently found out that he has polyps around in his, what do you call that, in his throat, in his gullet and things like that. And so his health isn't great, so we have a real need for more people to just physically be in Perth. That's what we need. However, in lieu of that, while we do not quite have that yet, we have started to train our congregation to be those workers. We started a number of programs. One of them is called SOS, Seeking Out Souls. That is our new program that is going to start in 2019. What it's focused on is a class once a month on a Tuesday evening. I don't know if that's scriptural, but a Tuesday evening, we are going to meet and we are going to train our members how to reach out to others, how to reach their neighbors, how to reach the people that they work with. Because I tell you, if you know non-Christians here, you better believe we know non-Christians in Perth. And all the ways that we can benefit the community and everything that we need will be done through SOS, Seeking Out Souls. We take part in evangelistic training and community work as well for our youth and our young adults as well as our teenage age. We have, through Leap and Lead, done something that we call Community and Connect. We volunteer at the local food bank pretty regularly, pretty much once every 2 months. And we help those who are in need. Recently, we helped the Perth Rangers clear paths around the hospital so that people could get to the hospital when trees have fallen down and things like that. We helped them clear paths. They are a volunteer service in Perth. Bear in mind that when I talk about these youth, Leap, Lead, Community and Connect, that the only Christians present during these things are Abby and myself. And so these are evangelistic outreach efforts. These are times where we reach out to those that need the Lord. This is in Edinburgh. This is about 45 minutes from my house, this picture. And so we went hiking there recently. It's called, It's called Arthur's Seat, after King Arthur. So there you go. There's a legend King Arthur sat on this mountain and contemplated some of his land. So there you go, if you're interested. So yeah, Leap and Lead, and these are some of the things that we've done. Again, if you want any more of this information, I'll be around. Just ask me if you need. Yeah, these are some of our kids that work with us. Again, that's Abby up there in the top left, and some of the kids that we work with. This is us on a retreat in February last year with some of the guys that have started to become the core of our teenage group and the people that we work with there. And some of our kids there on the bottom left. So yeah, in 2018, we had a campaign group from Beaufort come over. And some of these pictures are just showing you the kind of things that we did and we do on a regular basis. This, in the bottom left here, that is the food bank that we volunteer in regularly, Perth and Kinross Food Bank. Food banks in Scotland the use of food banks in Scotland has went up in some areas by as much as 50%. in Perth has went up by 25%. And so Perth is a little better off than some places, but it is a real is a way that we've reached out to our community and helped them to know what working, what being the church and being a Christian is all about. And these are some of our guys here, some of our kids here. In the top left there, the two children at the front, the one on the left is Roberta. Roberta has been working, or we have been working with Roberta since the very beginning. Back in 2015, we started the youth club. Roberta was one of our first children, and I think that was about the time she started talking, and I don't think she's ever stopped. And when I go back, she might have stopped, I don't know, but I've not got a phone call saying it yet, so we'll see. But Roberta is one of the most outgoing, loving little kids. She is 9, possibly 10 now, actually, and she's been coming ever since. She is half Lithuanian and half Russian. We have a large Eastern European population in Perth. In fact, they account for 30% of our youth club, and every person that we work with about the gospel, around a third of those people are either Polish or some other, usually Polish or some other Eastern European descent. Again, Roberta is Lithuanian and Russian. Grace, the red-headed little girl you can see on the other side, she comes from the Gaelic community in Perth. We have a large Gaelic community. They don't speak Gaelic as their first language, but as their second, and they are taught exclusively in Gaelic at elementary school, you guys call it. And so we've been reaching out into these communities, and we have found success. Perhaps where other, you know, more mainstream churches, well, denominations, have come round, the Church of Christ is willing to go in there and say, hey, it's possible to be just a Christian. We have worked with so many people who have come from the Catholic denomination who are not interested anymore in what the priest has to say, not interested anymore in what their grandfather or grandmother has to tell them, but rather want to know what the Bible says. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're trying to do in the city of Perth. Yeah, this is just a picture of the city of Perth. I know it's quite dark with the lights on it, but if you see it, trust me, it's nice. You know, I heard a story once, you know, about a woman who planted a vine at the bottom of her garden, you know, but it never seemed to grow. She was a very committed gardener, you know, and she prided herself on the things that she was able to grow in that garden. She planted a vine at the bottom of the garden, but that didn't grow, and she waited for months for this thing to grow. Every day she looked out of her window while she was, you know, washing up, and she looked at that vine, and still there was no sign of it. You know, one day she decided enough was enough. She took her garden shears, she went down to the bottom of the garden, and just as she reached the part where she had a low wall, her neighbor looked over and she said, you know, thank you for planting that vine. And she said, what do you mean? The vine's never growing. And she said, well, why don't you come to my side of the wall? She went to the other side of the wall, and there was a beautiful flower on the other side of the wall. You see, the vine hadn't grown in her garden, but she had just never known how she'd been blessing her neighbour. You know, all of these things that we do in Perth, they maybe don't seem like a lot. You know, even when you're doing them, maybe you feel like I could be doing more, or I should be doing more than just a kind word or just a basket when a close friend has died or a neighbour has had a traumatic time. You know, maybe we feel like we should be doing more than just a knock on the door to say, hey, we're thinking about you, we're praying for you. Maybe we feel like we should be doing more than just inviting people to church, but I tell you, you don't know what flowers you're planting in other people's lives. You know, the nature of the work in Perth means that we're planting trees that probably we're never going to see grow. 50 years from now, I hope that there's a church in Perth, but, you know, I might not be around to see it. And that's just the nature of the work. We plant trees we may never see grow, but we plant them anyway. Because just like those guys at the start, it's not about all the equipment, and it's not about the reward of getting there or having a huge church or having anything like that. It's about having the will to follow, to be a leader and forge a path ahead and bring people to Christ. You know, if I work my whole life in Perth, in the city of Perth, and just Abby or just Annette or just one person is in heaven because of the gospel being spread in Perth, because of the work that we do in Perth, it will all have been worth it. Completely 100% will all have been worth it. You know, Perth didn't have a chance. Just like I didn't have a chance, Perth didn't have a chance. But we can give those people a friend. And because we can give those people a friend, Perth and the people in Perth and Abby Ramsey and Annette Ferguson, they have a future. Because of the things that you have done, because of the support that you've given to us, they have a future. How many out there do you know that need a friend? I did. How many out there have faltered in their faith? Because I have at times when it was difficult. How many out there, including you, ask yourselves this question. How many of you out there need to change your future? It's possible. You can do it. And you don't need to wait. You know, there's no need for you to go out there wondering, you know, should I have, Scott said, should come forward, you know, should I have responded, should I not? And I don't want anyone leaving here thinking, you know, where am I going after this? I don't want anyone leaving here wondering if they're going to heaven or not. That's the opposite of what we do here. That's the opposite of what the church is all about. I don't want anyone I ever meet wondering where they're going to be if they die. You know, maybe I don't transition into invitations very well because we don't actually do the invitation in Scotland. I don't know why. I guess we're kind of reserved, you know, we're kind of quiet. I'm a quiet guy, I promise, you know. But and so you know, people don't really stand up and do public things like that, you know. And so you know then from me telling you that this embarrasses me, and you know possibly that from me telling you that this isn't 100% where I'm always comfortable. But I'm going to tell you today that I love Jesus. 9 years ago, that wasn't the case. 9 years ago, I didn't love Jesus. And yet someone took the time to say, come to church. And now 9 years later, I'm standing in Conyers, Georgia, a place I'd never heard of when I was growing up. And I'm standing in front of you telling you, I love Jesus. You know, I don't present an invitation very often, and I'm not going to present an invitation to you today because I don't see Peter in Acts 2 presenting an invitation. It says there that Peter tries to convince them, and I hope that the lesson this morning definitely did a better job than I have. I've given you an overview of what we did, of what we do in Perth, but I hope that we've done something or said some words to convince you today. But the other word that the scriptures use about what Peter did that day was that Peter pleaded with the people that day. Be baptized. You know, I don't invite you. I hope I've done something to convince you. I spend my time now pleading with you. If you need to be a Christian, please come forward. If you need the love of Christ in any way, please come forward. If you need a friend, if you need help, if you've faltered in your faith, if you are in any of these situations, if you need to change your future, just like someone did for me, just like Christ did for me, if you need to change something or if you just need a friend, come forward as we stand and as we sing.